Amen. Let's read verse 15 through the end of the chapter of chapter 3. He says, therefore, let us, as many are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross, a cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Jesus, we come before you today. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the divine, holy word of God, that word that's set apart from all others. Lord, your word is holy. It's also anointed, Lord. It's living. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Father, I pray today that your word would go forth in this congregation, including myself. God, that you would help us, Lord, to take an evaluation of ourselves today and to seek the mind of Christ, to seek the Spirit of God, that you would shine a light down on us today, God. Examine us, Lord, and see if we're in the faith. Examine us, Lord, to see if we're growing in grace and knowledge of Jesus. And Father, Lord, like David said, if there's any wicked way in us, God, Lord, expose that, Father, and we will repent of that sin, God. We'll repent, Lord, of evil thoughts, Lord, of unbelief, God. We are looking, Lord, today to draw closer to you, closer than we've ever been before, God. Lord, we want to be your people, your divine people. We want to be participants, Lord, in the divine nature of God, like Peter said we can be. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God moves without hesitation or hindrance today, Father. We yield to you, Lord Jesus. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, for you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Paul has left us a mental image from the passage that we just covered last week. And he's left us this mental image of a runner that is pushing forward and striving for that goal. Have you ever noticed runners, when they get close to the line, they stick their chest out, right? Why? Because they can't reach it with their hands. It's got to be touched with their body. They want to be the first one to that goal. So they're pushing forward. And that's the mental image that Paul is giving you, that we are to push forward. Forget those things that are behind. Forget your failures, but sometimes you even need to forget your successes. And you got to just press forward in God. And so that's the mental image that he's left us with. And now he talks about something really I thought was sort of fascinating this week as I began to study that. He begins to talk about maturity in the Lord. And I thought, who defines that? You know, how do we define maturity? I can tell you one way it's not defined, by age. Some people would say, well, I've been in church 30 years. And I'd say, well, push back the whiskers and let's put the bottle in, right? Let's change the diapers, because you may be a 30-year-old Christian. That doesn't mean you're a mature believer. I've seen some people get saved, and in 6 months, they amaze me at their maturity level. Why? Because they're devouring the Word. Because they're spending time in His presence. So I wanted us to talk about this today. And I want you to understand, he uses two words to define maturity. He says, think and walk. Think and walk. So we're going to talk about those two words. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people." Now, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He said, "I couldn't even talk to you like spiritual people." He says, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For until now, you were not able to receive it. And even now, you're still not able." He wasn't mincing words, was he? He says, "For you are still carnal." Carnal is fleshly. "For where there are envy, strife, and division among you, are you not carnal, behaving like mere men?" Now, there's one thing I want you to glean from that. When a church or when people of God are fighting, we are not showing maturity. Every once in a while when I preach, people will come up at the end of the service and say, "Are you having problems in the church?" No, we're not. We're not having this problem at all. To my knowledge, sometimes I'm the last to know. But what I do is try to preach preemptive. Just preach the word, right? I just take the word and preach it so that you have a good basis of the word. But folks, is that not sometimes the picture of the church? Where we're fighting, where we're bickering back and forth? That ought not be. We're not worldly. We're Christians. There's one overall characteristic that describes the mature believer, and that's love. And if your love level is not where it should be, then don't fool yourself by saying, "I'm a mature believer." No, you're not. You got a lot of growing to do. And who does the Lord tell us to love? Love Him first. Love your neighbor second. But more than anything, He says love each other. Folks, we ought to love each other. Love is, the word is cheap. We throw that thing around every which way, right? But true love is sacrificial. If we love Paris, we'd get involved with Helping Hands. Why? Because Helping Hands helps organizations that help people. Are you following me? We would do things that we know, they don't even have to be spiritual, but if they're helping people, that sounds pretty good. Sounds like what Jesus would participate in. So, he talks about, first of all, thinking. In 2 Corinthians, now I've just got a portion of scriptures here. You can look them up, take notes if you'd like. He says in 2 Corinthians 10:5 that we're to take captive our thoughts and place them under the obedience of Christ. This is very strong words. Take captive your thoughts. You know, I find that you cannot go on vacation with your thoughts. You can't take a sabbatical. Does that make sense to you? I mean, I can harness my thoughts for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. But if I let up for a weekend, Betty, Satan will come in like a mountain, you get that? So, people that have problems with lust, you gotta take captive those thoughts. You cannot allow yourself to think that way. But if you give yourself, the Bible says don't give Satan a foothold. If you open that door just a little bit, buddy, he'll come in a mighty way. So there's no vacations in this one. Does that make sense? Don't give the devil a foothold. Not today, not next year, not the next 10 years. Take captive your thoughts. In Philippians 4:8, probably study that next week, he said, "Think on these things, things that are true and noble, just, pure, lovely, good report." I don't see gutter in there at all. Do you? There's no gutter thinking with people of God. You know what I'm talking about? When people tell you a dirty joke at work, what do? Don't you dare laugh. You just stare them down. That's not your language. That's not the language of godly people. Don't participate in that. Think on things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, and a good report. You know what that tells me? We should treat gossip the same way that we treat a dirty joke. Because gossip is not a good report. So if I'm entertaining gossip, I'm just as guilty as the person. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. You start talking about gossip, the church gets quiet. Talk about adultery and they'll amen you all day long. Colossians chapter 3 verse 2, he says, set your mind on heavenly things. I'm talking about the mature believer. Mature believers do this. They think about Christ. They think about godly things. Romans 5:8 says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, they think about the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Listen to this last line. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Ouch. Right? Ouch. I know what you're thinking. Well, I'm born again. Well, so am I. It's always good when your pastor's born again, I'm going to tell you. But I'm going to tell you, born again people can get in the flesh. And flesh people don't please God. When you throw a little temper tantrum, that's not pleasing to God. What is pleasing to God? Faith. It's almost the exact opposite, right? So without faith, it's impossible to please God. He doesn't say that to be legalistic is pleasing to God. You got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do this and that. And he says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that's Hebrews 11:6. So I am not preaching perfectionism. I'm not preaching that we arrive. I'm preaching, you know, when you have a baby, that baby doesn't change from a baby to an adult overnight. It's a process. You know, the first thing you're looking to do, or I was looking to do, is get rid of the diapers. Let's get that kid potty trained and potty trained quick. You know, get rid of the bottle, the pacifier. You know, Paul, this is not the only place he addresses this in Scripture. He addresses it in Hebrews. He addresses it in several places. In other words, this is a common problem in the church. There's a lot of immaturity. He says, you ought to be taking solid food, but I'm still having to give you milk. Who does that hurt? It hurts me first, but it also hurts this world. You ever heard people in the world say, well, church people are no different than I am? Don't argue with them because they're probably right. Why are they right? Because we're not growing in Christ. You know, I find also there's sometimes teenager believers, adolescents, you guys close your ears for just a second. They think they're always right. They think they know more. And those are the young people that have turned on for Christ, and sometimes they get this arrogant spirit because they're pushing in and they're trying to grow, but they can get an arrogancy if they're not careful. Betty, I'm going to tell you who pleases God is humble people. God really won't do much for you until you humble yourself before the Lord. So what does he mean? I think most of us understand this thinking part, that we got to think the thoughts of God, that we have to change the way we think. But what does he mean about walking? Well, how I walk, is he talking about my gait? Absolutely not. He's talking about, do I put into practice the things that I believe? And this is where we blow it. You ask Christians about what they believe, and most of them can start to tell you. You know, you ask them, well, do you live it? And they get real quiet. I was giving a guy a survey one time that I knew where he went to church. I knew he confessed Christianity. And this survey was sort of, first half of it was asking about what you believe. Do you believe in abortion? Do you believe in this? Do you believe in that? The second half is, do you think Jesus believes in abortion? Do you believe, think Jesus would believe in this? He answered every one of them like the world would answer, the beginning. And then I get down to the second half, and I said, do you believe Jesus would believe in abortion? He said, well, no. Do you believe that Jesus would believe in this, everything that he said he believed in? And he said, you tricked me. And I said, yeah, I sort of did. But you know what it did? It made him line up. Do my thoughts line up with the Word of God? You know what I thought as I prepared this sermon to preach it to you? I thought this. When pastors quit preaching about sin, the church got worldly. And I'm not talking about legalism, not in any way. But pastors have moved away from preaching that this is right, this is wrong. And therefore, don't criticize young believers because their thoughts don't line up with the Word. Right? Because by and large, we hadn't taught them. So we're going to teach them. See, the scripture that you learned either last week, for all scripture is inspired. God breathed. God breathed. And it's good for doctrine. What's the second? Correction. Reproof. And instruction in righteousness. Matter of fact, I'm skipping ahead of my notes. Sorry, Jonathan, you're going to just have to jump. The Word of God, he says here, and if you don't agree with me, it's what Paul is saying. If you don't agree with me, it's okay. The Holy Spirit will show you. You know what that told me? I am not your Holy Spirit. It is not my place to come to your house and examine your refrigerator. It is not my place. And I don't want to. It's not my place. Every time I see you doing something wrong or saying something that I don't think is real godly, it's not my place to jump down your throat, and I will not. I'll just say, sick 'em, Holy Ghost. No. That's God's place. I find that we do more damage and more harm when I try to become your Holy Ghost. We fall really short. I can't believe you didn't amen that one. That was... So walking is about putting into practice. In Psalms 1:1, he says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. If you've heard me teach on this at all, you'll hear that I believe that that is a progressive verse. You know, when you're walking down the road with somebody and you're talking, you're just gabbing. But if you stop, it's like saying, oh, you just said something interesting. You know, you got my attention. Now, what did you mean by that? And buddy, if you come over here and say, oh, take a seat. Take a seat, because I really want to know what you're saying. It's a progressive verse. Does that make sense to you? And he says, don't do that with the ungodly. Now, folks, we are to have friends with unsaved people. I think this is one of the problems of the church, is we quit having friends with them. You can have friends with them, but don't let them influence your heart. They ought not be your counselors. So, for you guys, don't let your unsaved friends be your spiritual counselors. And that happens a lot in high school, right? And so the Bible says there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors, but you better make sure your counselors are godly. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. That verse always convicts me. Because, you know, I think sometimes we do walk in darkness, right? Yeah. But if we walk in the light as in He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of obedience." Did you catch that? "And you He made alive, who were dead." And He says this, "And you used to walk." Have you ever met a non-smoker? Someone that was delivered from smoking? Someone that smoked for a long time and then got... They're the most intolerant people to smokers that there are. I mean, like, they have no patience with some, "Oh, I can't believe I'm sticking up this place." You know, it's like, "Oh, geez, be quiet," you know. Sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we become intolerant with unbelievers. Folks, we're not supposed to be intolerant of unbelievers. We're supposed to love them into the kingdom by speaking the truth in love, by walking this out. Not so much what you think, not so much what you say. It is a whole lot about what you walk. Ephesians 4:1 then says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you're called." When you got saved, my brother, you got called into the ministry. Too many people look up here at this pulpit and say, "Well, that's a man that's called by God." Well, I'm looking at people called by God. You may not be called to the fivefold ministry of pastoring or evangelism or prophecy or any of those, but you are called by God. God wants you to walk in that calling. Galatians 5:25, "If we're going to walk anyway, let's walk this way. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit." Walking in the Spirit. When you got saved, when you gave your life to Jesus, the Spirit of God inhabited your vessel. Now you have an inner voice that will speak to you and will lead you. The Bible says, "My sheep know My voice." It may take you a while to define that voice of God inside of you, because there are other voices that are speaking in this world. You got to distinguish between God's voice, the devil's voice, and more than anything, your voice. Because your voice is the loudest. And we want to walk in the Spirit. In other words, let the Spirit lead and guide us. So the two side points that I see He makes, He says, if anyone thinks otherwise, God will reveal that to you. I love that. Isn't that reassuring and just like, whew, thank God, I don't have to know it all, right? I don't even have to be right about everything. But when I'm wrong, if my heart is right, if I want to do right and I want to know exactly what God says, if I want to be right with Him, I can just say, "God, reveal Your word to me. Reveal it to me, Lord." And He will. He will. I guarantee you, if we all started writing what we thought, "Here's what I believe," oh, we'd come up with so much harebrained stuff. Right? We all have these beliefs that are out there, not even scriptural. And sometimes the ones that are scriptural, "Well, I believe it says this, and I believe it says that." My son said something incredibly wise to me one time. I was really amazed. He said, "If God had wanted to make His word plain, easily understood, He would have." And I thought, wow, I never thought about that. He said, "God left it a little bit confusing so that we would have to push in and we'd have to study." The Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth. God doesn't want to make it easy. God wants you to push. Now, there's a difference in easy and simple. Right? Salvation is simple. I mean, He kept it so simple for us to be saved, right? But the walk is not easy. You know why? Because we're walking against the culture. I mean, I pray for these guys all the time. It's a lot harder on them than it was on you. You know, back in the, even in the 60s when I was born, culture wasn't great, but it wasn't like it is today. I mean, everything that we teach in the church, they get the opposite in school. More and more Christians are taking their kids out of school because of that. And I agree with that and I disagree with that. I'm a little bipolar on that one. I think, well, if we take all of our kids out of school, where are the missionaries? I was leading people to Jesus in 6th and 7th grade. I'm not advocating either. You need just to pray and seek God's face on that one. The second thing that I see here, he says, let us walk by the same rule of the same mind. You want to know if you're maturing in Christ? Are you walking in unity? Here is something that we are losing as Americans. Can we agree to disagree? Can we still walk in unity even though we may not agree? We ought to be. We ought to be able to walk in unity even though we don't agree on everything. I don't agree on everything with myself. I just told you, I see this side and I see that side. And sometimes I argue it all in my mind. I'm like, oh, Jesus. Then he begins to contrast the two lifestyles, the carnal or the spiritual. Boy, he says some powerful things here. He says one thing. He said, and he takes the carnal first. He says they're enemies of the cross of Christ. Woo! That's pretty strong language. If there's one thing I don't want to be, it's an enemy of the cross of Christ, right? I want to make sure. And he says those are headed for destruction. It's only a matter of time. Have you ever wondered, and I know it goes all the way back to the Old Testament, why do the ungodly prosper? I mean, I think every Christian has asked themselves that question, and I've just got news for you. They don't always, and their end is not pleasant. Right? The scripture says, if we are walking in ungodliness, we're enemies of the cross. We're enemies of everything that He has done for us. The second thing, He says, their God is their bellies. I remember reading that. I'm sort of built like Buddha here, so it really convicted me. But what he's talking about, it means that we are living to please our flesh. It's not just eating, guys. It's sexual. It's thinking. Everything. How much do you live to please this? Folks, that's a serious question. Right? Because the truth is, this is just something we inhabit. I heard a preacher say one time that this is just the shell. The nut's really gone. And then it was a nut. It was a character. And he said, the nut is gone. This is the shell that's here in the casket. Sitting beside you is another shell. It's amazing how much time we spend taking care of that shell. Where God is saying, maybe you need to switch your priorities just a little bit. Maybe you should spend some time developing the real you. I'm going to tell you, if you ever have the privilege of being with someone when they cross over from this life to the next life, especially if they are a believer, it is a peaceful joy. Amen. Watching that spirit leave their body, nobody has to tell you they're gone. You know it. You know it. You can feel it. Atreva's dad, we were with him when he died. We were singing praises, and for a while he was singing with us, and then he lost his words and couldn't sing. But he would still just stand there or sit there in the bed with his hands up. And we just was singing, all of us in the ICU, and the nurses allowed us that freedom to do that, just worshiping. And when that man breathed his last breath, you felt it. You knew to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. He is now home. He's now exactly where he wants to be. I hope you're asking yourself a question. I hope you're sitting there today saying, how much do I allow this flesh to lead me? I was born with a temper. And I developed it really good. I was high-tempered. I fought a lot. I was quick with my tongue. And getting saved at 7 years old, there was a battle inside of me because I knew that wasn't godly. And I kept saying, God, take this temper away from me. You know, he never did. Never took my temper away. But he taught me to overcome. Now, do I still have flashes of the past? You better know I do. I can flash mad just like that. And, you know, when I do that, I try to keep my mouth shut best I can. But then I have to come back and repent because that wasn't God's best. The third thing is their glory is in their shame. You ever met people that love doing wicked things? They talk about how drunk they got the other night, what they did when they were drunk. Or, you know, you ever met Christians that glory in the past? Something's wrong. Something's wrong in Denmark when you're relating who you used to be and you begin to smile. That's just my pastor side. The fourth thing he says, their mind is on earthly things. Always thinking about here and now. So then he talks about, he begins to say now about the mature in Christ. What are they like? He says, first, they recognize that they're citizens of heaven. Did you know that? Do you know you have a dual citizenship? Do you know you're here on this earth, but you have an assignment while you're on this earth? We all have the same assignment, and then we have some differences. But the same assignment is every one of us is an ambassador. You see, if we have an ambassador in Israel, Israel doesn't pay for our ambassador. The supplies don't come from Israel. We provide for that ambassador from America, no matter where he's at, we provide for him. We give him the correspondence. We give him the information. Folks, as ambassadors of Christ, God provides for us. God gives us the information. God takes care of us. We're dual citizens. We got one foot in this earth, but really our minds are in heaven. We're thinking about heaven as our home. I want to tell you, when I grew up in church, the church was poor. The church didn't have a lot of things, and we sang about heaven all the time. And the more prosperous the church has become, the more comfortable the church has become, the less we sing about heaven. Why? Because we're too comfortable. We become acclimated to this world. We're not of this world. We're just passing through. But why we pass through? Let's win some souls for Christ. Let's do some good on this earth while we're going through this world. The second thing is the mature eagerly awaiting the Savior. You know, there was a person in the church years ago, she hated when I talked about the rapture. It made her a nervous wreck. Folks, it ought to have the opposite effect on you. When I preach on the rapture, when I talk about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you ought to get excited. You ought to be saying, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha, Lord. Come and get us. Come and take us home. Right? It ought to excite the body of Christ. Because we've got someplace better to go than where we're at now. No more sorrow. No more parting. No funerals in heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The third thing is, mature know Christ will bring everything under His control. That's why we have joy. I don't care what hell you're living in right now. You ought to know this. Jesus is in control of my life. He calls the shots. It may not be pleasant right at the moment. I'm going to tell you, I had a week of hell. You ever passed a kidney stone? It's about like having a baby. Men don't have babies. I don't know if anybody told you that or not. I had twins this weekend. Woo! Destruction and damnation is what I'm going to name them, I think. Buddy, it's awful. It's awful. But you know what I had to keep reminding myself? Jesus is in control. Buddy, He calls the shots in my life. Satan can't do anything to me that Christ doesn't allow. Maybe I'm going through some testing. I don't know what it's all about. A lot of unanswered questions. But I do know one thing. My God is in control. And I will not relinquish that thought. My God is in control and my Jesus loves me. All things are in the power of His hand. The Bible says that He holds the world by the word of His power. He holds this world together. You know, if the earth tilted just a fraction, one way or the other, we'd either burn up or freeze. If you don't recognize that God is the creator of this world and that He's holding it together, you're missing it. Somebody sold you a bill of goods. I love that definition of joy. Favorite part of that definition of joy is this. It's the determined choice to praise God in every situation. Hallelujah. That's right. The fourth thing that I see, and this was, I had to step out of this portion of Scripture, but I really believe that this fits in really well. Still the writings of Christ. It's in Galatians 6:1. He says, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, you who are mature, restore one in such a way of gentleness, considering yourself, lest also you be tempted." Mature people try to restore people that have messed up. You know what the church is notorious for? Shooting our own wounded. Kicking people when they're down. Believers. That is not the time to kick somebody is when they're down. That's the time for people that are spiritual, people that are mature in the Lord, to come alongside. Even when someone's doing something you don't agree with, you don't like. But I've been in church a long time. All my life. So I've lived through some embarrassing things, people to go to church with you. They hit the front page of the paper. One of our esteemed believers decided that he wanted to wear a raincoat and go through campus exposing himself one time. Well, it was in the paper. One stole from the agency, hit the front page of the paper. These are people I go to church with. I can tell you the first thing that goes through my mind, right? But I'm going to tell you, I serve a pastor that believe in restoration. I learned so much from him during that. He never turned his back on people that had messed up. He would go to them and try to restore them. That's maturity in the body of Christ. How much are you trying to... The Bible says that when you rescue someone that's out there, you're pulling them out of the fires of hell. That's what we're called to do, folks. The greatest sign of the mature is how much love are you walking in. I think that if you've been listening to me closely today, and I believe many of you have, you're probably saying something like this. Eric, I feel like I'm in both camps. that I'm partially mature and I'm partially immature. Is that wrong or is that unusual? No. It's exactly where we're all at. Paul even said, I've not arrived. You know, every one of us deal. What I'm trying to teach today, that maturity, we could call this sanctification, the process of being set apart, is a process. God is taking you out of this world, renewing your mind, and moving you more like Christ. Our problem is sometimes we stop. Sometimes we just say, tired of that. I just want to do me for a little while. I want to show my temper when someone angers me. I want the freedom to speak my mind. You know, I find that's one thing the Lord takes away from you. No amens on that. Yeah, we don't get to speak our own mind. We're supposed to speak the thoughts of Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, you're dying to yourself. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That always bothers me. I'm like, that's not reasonable, God. That's wonderful. And he said, no, that's what I expect. See, the more you keep doing your own thing, you're just really, you're not even... Are you getting it? This is what God expects out of every believer. He says, don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what's the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In verse 21, he says something very similar. Same writer, but it's verse 21 of this chapter. He says, who will transform our lowly bodies that it may be conformed to his glorious body. He is able even to subdue all things to himself. He is able to overcome your temper. He's able to overcome your immorality. He is able to overcome your addictions. Buddy, I'm saying hallelujah. You know, if you see any limitations to the hand of God, you got your God too small. God is bigger than any mountain you'll ever face. And he's still slaying Goliath. To me, Goliath was my tongue. And that old Goliath still tries to rise up every once in a while. He's the only thing I've ever cut the head off, and he keeps getting it back up. Lay down there, boy! Goliath probably to you is something totally different. We got people in this church that's battled alcohol, battled drugs, battled sexual addictions, battled overeating. Ain't nobody... Well, we got definitely quiet there, didn't we? They're shopaholics. People only happy when they're spending money, especially if they're spending somebody else's money. You know what needs to please us? It's Christ alone. Christ alone. I'm telling you, if you hear me say anything, you hear me say this. Jesus can overcome whatever addiction is in your life. What's an addiction? Anything that you place before God. He can overcome that, but he needs your cooperation. What's your cooperation? Humility. You got to humble yourself. You got to come before the Lord. And you got to say, I can't. But you can. Will you help me? Some of the most powerful words in the world. Jesus, will you help me to overcome my belly being my God? My fleshly appetite. Buddy, I don't want it. I don't know about you. I don't want that anymore. I said, have you done that? Absolutely done that. I sort of was raised like that, where you just let your fleshly appetites. You know, John says basically all sin can be contained in the three. It's the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You can take pretty much every sin and put it in one of those categories. How are you overcoming? And you cannot do this by yourself. You'll fail miserably if you think, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and I'm going to be a better person. No, 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 no. You're getting it wrong. You need God's help. You are dependent upon Him. But you need to maybe see some things that need to be surrendered to Him. Right? And so you need to say, God, I recognize that that's not a mature believer. That's somebody that's immature. And I want to grow with You. I want to conform to You, not conform to this world. I promise you, this world is putting more pressure on Christians today than ever before. They're trying to make you think like they think, and when you don't think like they think, you're a hater. It's not true. I'm embarrassed sometimes what I have to teach from the pulpit that people 40, 50 years ago, they just all believed. God created man and female, male and female. He didn't create anything in between. I don't think you ought to have to mention that. I know there's a lot of, and I don't preach that with hatred in my heart, because I know there's a lot of confusion in this world. Satan has confused people's minds. And I don't think that we ought to beat them up. I think we need to show them through the Word of God. That ain't what God called you to. God didn't call you a shim. That's what we used to call them. He called you a she or a he. Ah, boy, I'm just way off in my teaching right now. Woo, to my diversity. Okay, stand with me. Let's land this plane quickly. I don't want you to forget. What are we talking about today? I'm asking you to ask Jesus to shine a light. Shine a light in me, God. And show Himself. Am I maturing in Christ? You're not mature, you're maturing. But sometimes we stop growing. And that's abnormal. When a child stops growing, it's abnormal until he's reached fullness of age, right? There's something wrong in his body. There's something wrong in a child of God when you stop growing. And I want you to ask the Holy Ghost, Lord, is there something that has caused me to stop growing? Am I not giving enough attention to You, to Your Word, to Your presence? Am I not walking in the Spirit? Am I being fulfilled by the lust of this flesh? Folks, you're probably saying, you've already said that 3 or 4 times. Yeah, I probably need to say it 30 or 40 times. Because this is really where it's at. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Let's be separate. If we want to affect the world, the way we do it is by showing them there is a different way. You know, Paul, in the beginning of the scripture, he says, I'm here with you and I'm an example to you. Wow! Would you do that as a believer? At one point he says, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, that's what I did not want to do as a pastor. I knew that when I stepped in the role of pastor, that's basically what you're saying. Follow me as I follow Christ. And that really bothered me. I thought, Lord, I don't want anybody following me. I want them following Your Word. I want them. But we do. We follow people sometimes. And as long as that person is persevering for Christ, it's okay. We need examples on this earth. Keep your eyes on Christ, though. It's what He says. Set your affections on things above, not on things of this world. Would you just bow your head? I'm going to pray for you. But I'm going to pray for you, but I can't pray for you. You got to pray yourself. Jesus, I bring this congregation before you. Lord, I thank you for their attention today. Lord, they've been so attentive to your word. God, I thank you, Lord, that I believe true words of wisdom from your throne has been given today. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, I'm only a conduit. But God, I know that things that came out of my mouth were not my thoughts. They were your thoughts indeed. So Lord, you have challenged us today to examine our hearts, to see if we're progressing as children of the King. If we've taken, Lord, time off, forgive us. Lord, I pray that every person in this room says, I want to be in the game. I want to be in the race, God. Lord, forgive me for those times that I've messed up. Put them under the blood, Lord. Forgive me. Forgive my ungodly thoughts, God. Help change my thinking and help change my walking. Let me put into practice the things of the Word of God. You said, come out from among them. And I believe the Spirit of God is calling every one of us today to come out from among the world and be separate. Father, we're answering the call of God today. We hear the voice of the Spirit and we are responding with an affirmative yes. Yes, we want to be changed into the image of Christ. We want to be your ambassadors. We want to be the mature. We want to be those that rescue the perishing. We want to be the ones that heal the wounded, Father. God, I pray right now, may your Spirit move upon every heart and every mind. I feel like the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, lead them in a prayer of repentance. Yes. Would you pray with me? Pray, you pray it to yourself. Jesus, forgive me. I've been doing my own thing. I love you, but the battle is I love me too. Father, would you forgive me? Change my desires. Change my priorities. I want to please you, Lord. And so today, Lord, I'm putting a mark in the sand. And God, I will seek you with all my heart. And I will endeavor to mature in Christ. And I know, Lord, that means spending more time with you, reading and studying your word. God, I'm making this promise to you today. Lord, I'm endeavoring that I will do better. Father, if there's anyone unsaved in this house right now, and they're feeling that call of God, and they're feeling, Lord, the Spirit of God just feels like their heart is going to jump out of their chest, Lord. Father, I pray, Lord, that they would pray with me and say, I'm a sinner, and I'm in need of a Savior. Forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Speak and I will listen, Father. Father, we worship and honor you. In the precious name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Denny.
And help work yesterday. You can see when you leave, you'll see we got a whole lot done. So that was nice. Hopefully you were given a big white envelope when you got in this morning. That's your giving record for last year. Just a quick note, the year at the top in the header is incorrect, but the dates down the left side and the amounts are correct for 22. So you should be good to go to file your taxes with that. If you need a corrected one, if your accountant's like I am in particular about that, we can get you a corrected one. That's fine, but the one you have should work. So if you didn't get one, then try and catch Pat on your way out. Maybe she just didn't get a hold of you this morning, or you got here before she got. She was hugging somebody, and you snuck by her is probably what it was. So anyway, raise your hand, receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing and nothing broken. Go in peace and serve the Lord. God bless.